Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hello, Vintage Faith. My name is Grace Kladnick, and I'm one of the pastors here. My husband and I actually are the co-pastors of Vintage Faith. And if I have not yet met you, hi, it's good to see you virtually. We're so glad you're at church today. Today, we are kicking off a new series. So the last 3 weeks, Pastor Randy spoke with us about the simple gospel. And we are now diving into a series called Simple Church. So as we encounter God and we start this relationship with Jesus, so starts our relationship with the church in many ways. And for Vintage Faith, we are really starting to examine and look at how we do church, how we do community with one another. And I just wanted to remind you a little bit. Remember just a year ago when we had to quickly pivot from meeting indoors, being together, and we pivoted to church online. Do you remember how simple life got? I don't know if it got simple for you, but it got pretty simple for me in terms of my responsibilities outside my home quickly became, you know, obsolete because we had to stay home. I remember driving to Target. I don't know if you remember this. This might be too traumatic and too soon to bring up, but I remember driving to Target and they had closed Targets. I remember literally driving to the Target parking lot and crying. I don't think it was necessarily because Target was closed, although that was a really big part of it. It was just that our entire world was being turned upside down and I didn't know what to do with that. But I remember the simplicity of life where, do you remember people were starting to bake sourdough bread? Like that was a thing. Some of you are still like fighting off the pounds from that time. I don't know. I would cook dinner every single night, which was kind of rare for me in my life. And not only that, but I shared it with my neighbor, Liz, who's a widow. Every night we'd say, Liz, do you want some extra chili or extra chicken that I made? I started baking cookies regularly. We would go on family walks every single night. I actually really miss that part of the pandemic life. And I started to see neighbors that I had never seen before because they were coming out of their homes. There was nothing much to do but go for walks around the neighborhood. And neighbors that I had never met before, we'd meet out in the front yard from a distance, of course. And they would say, oh my goodness, have you just moved into this neighborhood? We've never met you. And I'd say, no, I've lived here for 8 years and I've never met you either. And it was this time that was really precious and simple. And can't you start to already feel school's back in session and things are starting to go and here church is even starting to meet back in person and things are starting to ramp up and I'm trying to hold on dearly for this idea of this simple life that we experienced and tasted for just a moment. And I just want to tell you, as your pastors, Matt and I are praying for this church and the direction that we will move forward in because something happened in us during this time where a holy disruption began to take place in us as a staff and as a church. We would meet together as a staff and we would talk about what is church going to look like when we come back? And we want to be intentional that we don't get caught up in the busyness of church, the busyness of serving, the busyness of the Sunday service and all that happens. We want to remain simple. We want to be focused on Jesus, his word, building disciples, building community of people who follow after Jesus and that pureness and that simplicity of what it looks like to follow Jesus. So let's go back to the basics. So for Vintage Faith, our three core values are that we encounter God, we equip the church, and we love the city. And as a staff, we started to pray and started to think about, God, what is it that you want Vintage Faith to be about? We came back to those three truths that God planted in our heart 9 years ago when Matt and I started Vintage Faith. And it was that we would be a church that encounters God, that we'd be equipped, and that we would love our city and love our community and love our neighbors. And so that's what we're coming back to. So for the next 3 weeks, I'd love you to lean in to this conversation of being the simple church, back to basics, back to not just our church, but the global church. Like, what is God calling us to be as Christians? How are we to look? How are we to function? And at Vintage Faith, we talk about those three things: encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Go ahead and put those in the chats. Encounter God, equip the church, love the city. And today I get to preach on encounter God. So let's start. Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're here, that you're meeting with every single person exactly where they are. And we pray for your encounter. We pray for encounters with your love, with your peace, with your joy. You promise that you never leave us. And we're holding you to that, God. We love you so much. Speak to us by your word today. Amen. So as we get started, I wanted to highlight, as things begin to ramp up in your life, as the world begins to start to move at a fast pace, the current of the culture is fast and swift. And if you are not intentional about where your life is going, if you are not intentional about your focus on the Lord and wanting to hear his voice and wanting to encounter him, you will get swept up in the busyness of life like we were 18 months ago. That simple life, that what we tasted just for a moment of the sweetness of everything calming down. Remember how empty the 405 was? It was amazing. If we're not careful, we're going to get swept right up into that tide of busyness, of hurry, of really missing God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. The last 18 months have reminded me over and over and over again, I need to have an encounter with God. I have got to be filled with his presence. Everything I need is found in his presence. Come on, everything that you need, everything you are looking for, every answer you need is found in his presence. Church, we don't need more information. We are on information overload. You need encounter. You don't need to read another book about peace. You need to encounter the Prince of Peace. You don't need to listen to one more sermon podcast. I mean, hello, I'm glad that you're tuning in today and you're listening and you're engaging in this sermon. But what you need is to open up the Word of God and get the Rhema Word of God for yourself. You need to open this up and hear the words of Jesus and what he is saying to you. You need to encounter him. You know, Michael Jordan, I know, quick segue, the famous basketball player. He was a pretty big deal in the 90s. And you could sit here and you could tell me every stat of Michael Jordan. You could tell me how many free throws that he won. You could tell me how many three-pointers he did, like how high he could jump when he dunked. You could give me every bit of information about Michael Jordan, but it's nothing until you get one-on-one on a court with Michael Jordan and you encounter the 90s version of Michael Jordan. I mean, probably the 2021 version of Michael Jordan would still kick our butt on the court. But it is different to have information about someone than you encounter. And it is different to have all the information and you can spout out scriptures at me and you could go and make a cute little post that you put up on Instagram of a scripture that you read. It's different to have information than to have encounter with God. And when we say here at Vintage Faith, we're about encountering God. This is a game changer. This is not just about having information. This is not just about coming to church and consuming more information. This is about having an encounter with the living God who wants to transform your life. If anything 2020 taught me, it's that I do not want to play church. I do not want to have more information about how to be a good Christian. I want to encounter the living God. I need him to fill me. I need him to fuel me to do the work of God. I need an encounter. Come on, am I preaching to anybody? I hope I'm preaching to you. Psalm 16:11 tells us in his presence is the fullness of joy. It's in his presence. Exodus 33 tells us that my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Everything you need is found in the presence of God and we need to encounter him. So here's a question. I'd love for you to take a minute. Let us know in the chats this question. Where is God? And where can you encounter him? Go. Okay, awesome. We're back. So some of you might have said that we can encounter God at church. We can encounter God reading the Bible. He's in our heart. I know my four-year-old, this is a hard concept because we've said, like, Jesus is with you. He's in your heart. And she's like, what? You know, it wasn't a reassuring thing. So some of the language I use sometimes can be confusing. Maybe you'd say that you encounter him in nature or with a good cup of coffee with friends, you encounter God. Here's the reality is God is everywhere, isn't he? Let's read Psalm 139. I hope you have your Bible. Psalm 139 says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Listen to this. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall overcome me and the light about me not be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days were formed for me. And when as there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. It goes down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. This is David, and this is a song to God. And he's saying, where can I go from your presence? You are always there. And not only that, did you read how he described how much God knows him and knows you and knows me and still yet wants to meet with us. Before we were even formed, he knew who we were. Where we were being formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. He called us by name. Not only does God know you, but he wants to be found by us. He wants us to encounter him. Where can we go from his presence? Nowhere. God is with us. God is here. I've heard many people say things like, oh, I meet God, you know, when I'm surfing. That's how I encounter God, is that the waves are God. Nature is God. God is everything. And I want us to just be really careful there for just a second, because let's not confuse the creator with the creation. That's something called pantheism, is that when we say that God is everything. Theism is God made the world. Pantheism is God is the world. And there's just that slight difference, but this is what I want us to be careful at as Christians. Is that we could easily make the waves as we go out and surf the idol, the God that we worship, instead of the one who created those waves. Can you encounter God in the waves? Absolutely. Are the waves the one you worship? No. And we got to be careful of that slight idol that we can make of the things around us and the ways that we can connect with God But let's just remember that isn't God, but he uses those things so that we can encounter him. Encounter with God is not about him hiding from us, to trick us, tease us, taunt us. He wants to be found. And that's my biggest point today, is God wants to be found. When we talk about encounter God, he wants you to encounter him. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to feel his presence. He wants to be found. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Have you ever played hide and go seek with a child? Here's a couple funny pictures of when I play hide and go seek with my little kiddos. This is how they hide. Okay, there's legs sticking out. It's obvious where they are. And that, I feel like, is how God plays hide and go seek with us. When he says, "Seek me and you'll find me," he means it. He's not hiding up in the attic of your house. He's literally hiding behind a couch with a leg stuck out, with an arm out, even giving you a call, ka-ka, ka-ka, something to let you know, like, "I'm over here. Like, I want you to find me. This isn't a dirty trick. Like, I want you to encounter me. I want us to have relationship." If God is everywhere, that's that fancy word, a theological word of omnipresent. He is everywhere. And I think about in John 16, when Jesus is preparing the disciples before his death, and he's saying, "Listen, it's better that I go. It's better that I die on this cross, that I leave, that I go, because I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send an advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, and he will come. But he will not come if I don't go." And what Jesus was saying was, I'm fully God and fully man. Jesus walked this earth as fully man and fully God. So he had limitations in his earthly body of how many places he could go and how many places he could be at one time. But he knew that Holy Spirit didn't have that limitation. And when we receive Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with God's presence, and everywhere there is God. And he not only just fills us so that we get some Holy Spirit goosebumps, that it empowers us to live the life that God's called us to live. When Jesus says things like, "Love your neighbor as yourself," you know that's impossible to do without the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It's impossible to follow God and listen and obey and go and pray for the sick and see them healed. It's impossible to do these things without the presence of God filling us. And so many times we're walking through our life without tapping into the greatest resource that we have, which is the presence and the power of God. So when God says, "I want you to encounter me," it's not just so that we like have a cool moment where we're like, "Man, I felt really good after I sang that song. I encountered God." No, he wants your life to be transformed. He wants you to be empowered. His plan, church, this is the plan. If he didn't want to use our story and use us to spread the good news of the gospel of who Jesus is, he could have done it any other way, but here we are. We're the church. He wants to empower you to not only live a life that pleases God and a life that is abundant and overflowing with the goodness of who God is, but he wants us to share that with others. And how can we do that but if we don't encounter the presence of God? And Jesus knew this, and he was telling the disciples, "It's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come." And remember in Acts, he said, "Go and wait in the upper room and pray." And then they were filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it transformed them and it transformed the church. When we talk about the simple church, so let's get back to that. That simple realization is that we need the Holy Spirit to empower us and to fill us and to send us out. So here's the fact, is that God is always with us, but sometimes we don't recognize it. And sometimes we need to learn to tune into the presence of God. Here is my awesome old-fashioned radio. For any of you out there that, you know, born in the last 20 years or so, you might not know this. This is a radio. And up above us are radio waves that are all around. And we don't see it. We don't know it. We need something that helps us tune into the frequency that's all around us, right? So here we go. Here's our... Where is this coming from? Well, it's coming from the radio waves that are all around. And here we have something. Right? Okay, I'm hitting some jams. I'm hitting some jams.
Closing cost.
This is it. This is it. Okay. You get the point. You get the point. I had to be careful. I didn't know what I was going to stumble across on there. God is all around us. He is moving. He is wanting to speak to us. Are we willing to stop and tune into his voice? Tune into his presence. Be aware of his presence. He is here. He is moving. He wants you to encounter him. Are you willing to stop? And here, just a couple really quick little easy things. Just be aware that his presence is here and that he wants to meet you. That's like step number one. Just be aware of his presence. Be aware that he wants to meet with you. And you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to a building. You don't have to get in a prayer closet. You don't have to, you know, do some big ritual. He just wants to meet with you. Some of the most amazing times I've just encountered God is in between taking the wash out of the washer and putting it in the dryer. I'm serious. These moments of the mundane life that I'm just like, God, I just want to meet with you. And I meet his presence and I meet his love. And it's the mundane of picking up the kids from school and going, God, I love you so much. And checking in with him. It's just being aware that he's there and his presence is with me. And he wants me to encounter him. It's just that being aware that there's radio waves all around us and using the tune in that I have. That connection with God that he's wanting, just tune in to me. It's being open to the fact that God wants you to encounter him. I dare you, I double dog dare you this week to take a moment in each part of your day to just to check in with him and go, God, I know you're here. I know that you want me to encounter you. Go speak to me, God, or help me to be aware of your presence. And you know what? The fastest way to hear his voice, the fastest way to encounter him is open up your Bible. Read the words that he speaks to you. You'll encounter him just like that. The second thing that I want to say, and we're almost done here, is that not only does God want you to encounter him, not only has he made his spirit available to you to be filled, to be renewed, to have everything that you need is found in his presence, and he wants you to encounter his presence. Not only that, but encounter should lead to transformation. Encounter should lead to transformation. I am convinced that every time you encounter Jesus, you will be transformed. If you could look back on the last year of your life, and maybe you're like, oh no, Grace, I haven't been transformed. I bet you have. I bet you've grown a little bit in patience. I bet you've grown a little bit in generosity, a little bit more of compassion. Those fruits of the Spirit that we can look and say, have I grown in gentleness? Have I grown in patience? Maybe just a little bit. You're being transformed. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we are changed from glory to glory. As we look to God, as we look to the Lord, we're changed from glory to glory. Encounter with Jesus demands a response. And we see this in Matthew 4 when Jesus calls some of the disciples. Let me read that to you. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. And Jesus called to them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Encounter with Jesus demands a response. What was it about Jesus just calling out to these men and saying, come, follow me? True encounter with Jesus will lead to your transformation, will lead to you making a decision. Am I going to step closer to Jesus? Am I going to follow after him? And this isn't about us doing more for God. We're not human doings. We're human beings. Are we willing to just come alongside Jesus and surrender our agenda, surrender our life to his calling, to his leading, and simply be with him and be in his presence and let him do the transformational work. As we lean in and as we say yes to him and we surrender our lives, it's about obeying his leading. It's a continued surrender to his will, not ours. When you encounter God, you encounter his truth, you encounter his saving grace, you encounter his peace. Will you step into that and live that, allowing Jesus to be Lord and master of our life? Lord and master means that he gets to make the call. He gets to do the leading and calling us in. He's not a hobby that we enjoy once a month, maybe when we come to church, or once a week when we go to church. It's not a hobby. It's not a Hail Mary prayer when everything's falling down around us and we're like, oh, I guess I better call out to Jesus. He's the master of our life. And when we encounter him, we have change. There's transformation that takes place. I think about the woman at the well. Do you remember her? She was deep in her sin. She had several marriages that she had been in. And this next guy that she was with wasn't even her husband. And she met Jesus. And Jesus called her out, man. Like, Jesus was like, yeah, you've been with several men. And yet, here you are. And I have something that will make you thirst no more. Remember this story? And she had a choice to make with that encounter with Jesus. It demanded a response. And you know what she said? I want this water that you speak of. There's something to this Jesus. And she gave her life. She surrendered her life. And it transformed not only this woman, because remember, she went back and told her whole village about this Jesus that she met. The encounter with Jesus didn't just change her, didn't just set her free from the sin. Remember, he said, now go sin no more. There was a demand, a response that was needed from this woman. And she went and she sinned no more by the power of God. And her whole city was transformed by God. That's the power of encounter with Jesus. This isn't just something we sprinkle on our life. He is our life. I'm telling you, going back to the simple gospel, the simple church, what does it mean to simply follow Jesus? This isn't something we sprinkle over our life. We give our life to him because he laid his life down for us. While we were still yet sinners, he died for us. And not only does he give us salvation, but he becomes the master of our life. And then I think about the rich young ruler. Do you remember this story in the Bible? It was this young guy and he came to Jesus and he said, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus was like, well, go love your neighbor. He's like, I've done that. I've done all the commands. I've checked off all the things. I've done all the things. And Jesus, knowing his heart and knowing really where he was, he said, okay, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. The encounter with Jesus demanded a response. And unfortunately, that young man said, I can't do that. And he walked away. The transformation in that young man was very different from the transformation that happened with the woman at the well. Here's the thing that grieves my heart for that rich young ruler is that if he would have identified that Jesus calling him into this life of surrender, calling him into this life of laying down the thing he was holding so tightly to, that's why Jesus knew, you've done all the other things, but this is the thing that is gripping your life. If he would have just allowed that surrender to happen to Jesus and the transformation to happen, we know that he would have been filled with the power to do that very difficult thing, but instead he walked away. And church, what is gonna be our response to Jesus? When we encounter, because we know he wants to be found. He wants us to find him. He is not hiding to trick you. He says, seek me and you'll find, because he wants us to seek his presence. He wants us to seek who Jesus is. And then when we encounter, he knows that transformation can happen. But what are we holding on to? What are we gripping on to that we need to say, okay, Jesus, this is so hard, but encounter with you means life transformation. It means that a decision has to be made and I'm going to would decide again to surrender to you, Jesus, because you are the one. You're the master of my life. You are not something I sprinkle on my life. You are not a hobby that I do once a week. You are my life. I surrender my life to you. And if anything this last year told me, it was that I cannot have a wishy-washy faith. I cannot have a sprinkle on Jesus when I'm anxious. No, I need a life transformation in the presence of God that transforms me, that fills me, that equips me, that sends me. I need encounter with Jesus, and I need to surrender my life to him. It demands my response, and my response is going to be, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. These things I'm holding so tightly. Imagine what could have been of this young man's life. Look at the woman who surrendered her life to Jesus and her whole village. God is looking for a people that would not just encounter him, but that would be transformed so that a city can be transformed, so that a family can be transformed. If you're a dad watching this, and I would say to you, if you surrendered your life to Jesus and you fully gave your life, imagine what your family could be experiencing. Imagine what the ripple effects of the generations, mom, dad, the generations, young person, the ones that are going after you, your brothers, your sisters, your classmates. Imagine the ripple effect of what could be when we surrender our life, not just have encounters, not just get the Holy Spirit, raise our hands and sing a song. We think, oh man, I really encountered God. Did you? How were you transformed? What decision was made? And I believe that Jesus, he's offering us the same life. Is he saying, come to me. Everything you need is found in my presence. I want you to encounter me. The real peace that you're looking for, the real life that you're looking for, it is found in me. And I want you to encounter me. And I am available and I am here. And the fact that we have a God who's not dead, he is alive. We don't just pray to the wind. We're praying to a God who hears us and he acts and he moves on our behalf. Oh my goodness. And he wants us to encounter him. But he wants us to be transformed and he wants us to be changed. And there is a world who needs a transformed church. There is a world who needs a transformed people made in the image of God, looking like God, serving like God, hands and feet of Jesus to our community, to the ones around us. Jesus, help us. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to not just seek encounter, enlightenment, more information, but we would seek transformation from you, God. That our eyes would be opened to what you are calling us to, what you are equipping us to, God. And you don't ask us to come closer, to trick us, to hurt us, but you have good and perfect gifts for your children. And God, help us to surrender our life to you, that you'd be Lord and you'd be master. And as we encounter you, we are transformed by your power. Holy Spirit, thank you that you fill us. And even now, for those that are watching, fill us up, Holy Spirit. If there's anyone that's watching and you need to give your life to the Lord and you say, man, I feel like I've had encounters. I feel like I'm searching, but have I really surrendered? Has Jesus just become something I sprinkle on my life and he's not my life? He's just something I do occasionally. And when I'm really needing help, I open my Bible or I pray. Or is he the person that I surrender my life to and he's become my master and my savior and I surrender to him? And if that's not you, let's just pray, Jesus, we say, we surrender to you. Come and fill us. We turn from the way we were living. We turn from our sin. We repent and we ask God that you would help us, empower us, encourage us to live this life that you have called us to, God. We love you, Jesus. Church, I love you so much. I'm so glad that you came to church today and that you tuned in today and that you're a part of Vintage Faith. And as a church, we would continue to not overcomplicate things, but we would simply come to Jesus. We would simply want to encounter him. We would want to be equipped. We'd want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we could love others, that we could love him and others around us, that we would tune in to his presence, that we would tune in. Love you, church. Be the church. Love you so much.